Knock, knock. Who's there? How many times have you heard that said down through the years, or you've said it yourself, one or the other of those two ideas? Literally, books have been written about what's called the knock-knock jokes. This morning, I want us to think about a knock that's quite different from what is suggested by that. And that is the knock of Jesus. When he stands at the door of your heart, the door of my heart, the door of each one's heart, and knocks and says, "Let me come in." Focus first, if you will, on the general setting of this idea. You are aware, I'm sure, that the book of Revelation is really the revelation of Jesus, which he sent through John. And I think most of you are aware that in the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation, a specific address is made to each of the seven churches to whom the entire book is addressed as a unit. Where we are looking this morning is in the last of the seven, the address that is made to the church at Laodicea. Jesus, in each of these, has pointed out some of the problems that were being experienced in these churches, but he also took time to compliment them for the good that was being done and the good qualities that they had. It may not be by accident that Laodicea is chosen to be number seven, because it may very well be that this church, especially described by lukewarmness, would more nearly describe most congregations that you and I know today and have known in our work and our lives in the church. It is in that setting that verse 20 is given. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him," or "dine with him," as the version that Brother Howard read said. "I will sup with him," or "dine with him," "and he with me." Folks, that's a mighty powerful verse of Scripture. It has a lot to say. We need to understand what it says in as personal a way as each one of us can. I believe that verse 20 in Revelation 3 is the key verse to this entire address that is given to the church at Laodicea, and it may very well be the key verse to what is said in all seven cases, because you see, in each of the seven cases, the word "overcome" is mentioned. And it seems that Jesus is saying to those folks, if you'll just listen to me, you can overcome anything that happens. And you can be with me in heaven. And particularly here he says, you can dine with me. There's an Old Testament suggestion and idea presented of being at the banquet table with Jesus and with God. Jimmy Burton cleans our building, does an excellent job. Jimmy, I believe, goes to North Henderson regularly. I see Jimmy fairly early every Monday and Thursday mornings. He's come to be a very special friend of mine. And I'll ask him how he's doing, and especially when he was going through surgery back a few months ago, he'll always say, "I'm doing fine." And then, Howard, if I can use the language as you understand it, he says, "I plans to eat at the master's table." I plans to eat at the master's table. And I've thought several times in the last year or two, as I've heard him say that so much, how important that statement is. And I believe that's what Jesus has in mind here. He's saying, listen, I'm standing at the door and knocking. I'd like to come into your heart. I'd like to come into your life. I would like to help you to meet the affairs of life. I would like to help you live in such a way that you can go to heaven, and I assure you, you can overcome, and you can sup with me, and you can dine with me. And I think, folks, he's even saying that that supping and that dining is not limited to heaven itself, but even includes the relationship that we have with him while we are here. Notice what Jesus is doing and what he's saying. First, Jesus stands. You don't have to send a telegram somewhere to get him to come. You need not send an email. You don't have to make a telephone call. You don't have to wonder where he is. He's right there, right outside the door of your heart. Next, it says that Jesus knocks. That says that he's not going to force himself into your heart. If you're determined that you're going to live contrary to his will, he will let you. If you are determined that you're going to live outside of Christ and away from God and be eternally lost, he will let you. He doesn't want you to, but he will let you because he never opens that door himself. Oh, I suppose there is a sense, in the same way that it is said back in Exodus, that God hardened Pharaoh's heart and then says that Pharaoh hardened his own, that we could say that Jesus does many things to make it possible to get into our hearts, but he really doesn't open that heart door himself. As we've said so many times, there is no knob on the outside of the door to your heart. Jesus knocks. Now you put those two ideas together and think in physical terms. If I came to your door and I continued to stand there and I continued to knock, would it not have an effect upon you? You probably would either eventually give in and open the door, or you would decide that you were going to run me away, one of the two, and that may be what happens with Jesus. But it is important that we understand that Jesus doesn't just tap on the door once and then run and hide. He doesn't knock even the second time and say, well, if they had wanted me to come in, they would have opened the door by now, so I'll leave. He doesn't leave that easily. He stands just outside the door of your heart and mine, and he continues to knock and says, let me in. He wants in. He desires to be in your heart. He wants to be there. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants you to be a part of his cause. And it just seems, as you read this verse, that it's saying that Jesus will use any reasonable means to try to persuade you to be his and to follow him. You know of his invitation in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know that in the last chapter of Revelation 22:17, he talks about come, and the Spirit and the bride say come, let him that will, whosoever will, let him come. You know of that great invitation that continues to be extended. And many times at the end of the sermon, we say we extend the invitation. In a sense, maybe we do, but in reality, it's Jesus extending his invitation, come unto me, because he wants in. He wants to be in your heart. And Jesus has something to offer. It would be interesting if we had the time just to take the Bible, especially the New Testament, but even some indications back in the Old Testament, and just go through and list all that Jesus says he will offer. All of his promises. Salvation being number one. Forgiveness associated with that. It would be interesting to count our blessings that would come from Jesus. Jesus has something to offer. Now, question. If sometime tomorrow Ed McMahon or someone like that were to come to your door and you looked out the window and saw a van parked that indicated why he was there, and he stood there and knocked, would you open the door? Why, certainly you would, because he had something to offer. And just about anybody that's a human being who came to your door, if you were convinced that he had something to offer, and even most of the time, if we feel like the person is coming to ask us to give something, we will at least open the door and try to see what the situation is. There has never been anybody at your door who offers more than Jesus. There's never been anybody who comes to your door that can give you more than he can give you. And yet sometimes we let the door of the heart be hardened and close the ears and the eyes, as indicated in Matthew 13:15, and we don't listen to Jesus. Now, that's one side of what's said in Revelation 3. Jesus stands, Jesus knocks, Jesus wants in, and Jesus has something to offer. But notice what he says also here that has to do more with you and me. He says, if any man, and I will not take a lot of time, but just mention in passing that that little word if is a key word. That makes the whole situation conditional. If we didn't have anything else said, that little word itself would force us to that conclusion. Notice he says, if any man will hear my voice and open the door. That puts the responsibility on each one of us. And that reminds us that there is a knob on the inside of that door. And that door is not nailed shut. It is not even stuck. And the rainy weather won't make it stick. It is a door that is such that each one of us can open it anytime he desires to open it. But the knob is on the inside. I like the way that he says, if any man. Doesn't make any difference whether one is white or black, rich or poor, man or woman, highly educated, no education. President of the United States or working at a job that might be considered a very low-type job. Doesn't make a bit of difference. Doesn't make any difference whether it's a 100-year-old person or whether it's that 10 or 11 or 12-year-old person who is just coming to the point of really understanding what it means to be a Christian and to open the door of one's heart and let Jesus come in. Doesn't make any difference. It's any man. That beloved passage of John 3:16 says that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, not some elect, not some select, but anybody who wants to, any man. Peter said when he was talking about the end of time that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus stands at the door of the heart of every man. He doesn't call anybody. He doesn't wish to leave anybody out. And so any man can accept the invitation that comes from that knock that's on the outside. However, man must listen. This may be one of our biggest problems. I know it's one of mine. And I know I could take at least one witness into court that would stand for that. Judy would be glad to go anytime. If any man will listen, if he will hear my voice, it may be that one of our biggest problems is we get so busy involved with the affairs of life that we don't sit down and stop long enough to listen to what Jesus says and to what Jesus offers. It just seems to me almost impossible, at least improbable, that anybody would turn down Jesus if he really understands what Jesus is saying and what Jesus wants, what he suggests by that knock that is constantly, at least continually, on the outside of that door. Man must listen. Take heed what ye hear. Mark 4, verse 24. And man must be sure that he's tuned in to the right source. Because, you see, though it's not really indicated in this verse as such, there are others knocking at the door of your heart. Believe you me, the devil is there. And many of his cohorts who are knocking at the door of your heart and saying, let me come in. And the sad thing is, so many times we open the doors of our hearts to that knock. Not only must we listen, we must listen to the right source. You see, Jesus says in this verse, if any man will listen, he didn't stop the sentence there, if any man will listen to my voice, not just anybody's voice. When we start listening to the doctrines of men, we get into trouble, Mark 7, 5 through 7. Our worship is not pleasing to God. And our worship is vain when we listen to anybody other than Jesus. He said, listen to my voice. A moment ago, we looked at Mark 4, 24. Take heed what ye hear. It's interesting that Luke 8, 18 says, take heed how ye hear. Not only the what, but the how. If any man will listen, he must tune to the right source, and then man must open that door. Sometimes we close our eyes. Our ears are dull of hearing. and we let our hearts become hardened. And if the heart becomes hardened, sometimes it lets the door of that heart become a part of that hard side. And it's not easy to open that door to Jesus or to anything that's on the side of good. Man can listen. Man must listen. Man must listen to the right source. And man must open the door of his heart and let Jesus in. Now you see the picture. Jesus is on the outside standing and knocking. Man is on the inside with the ability to listen and to open. If he does, here are the results. Jesus said, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him or dine with him and he with me. When I read that verse, I almost immediately first think of the Lord's Supper. I don't believe that's exactly what he's referring to there, but I believe it includes it. If you will let me come into your heart, Jesus says, I'll be there to commune with you even when you are worshiping me on the Lord's Day. A few minutes ago, every Christian had the opportunity to remember the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And I think there is a true sense in which we can call that sweet communion. But there's more to it than that. I believe Jesus is saying, if you will open the door, you and I can have a personal relationship. Now, don't misunderstand me. We need to be careful. I'm not talking about some better felt than told experience that a person has that's based on something entirely separate and apart from the Word of God. I don't believe that's what Jesus means. But I do believe that he is saying that there can be a personal relationship. One of my favorite verses is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Notice the word live and life in this. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, faith in him. I live. I believe that on a daily basis, Jesus, in a sense, is knocking on the door of you, if you're not a Christian, and saying, let me come in and be your Savior. Go ahead and confess me. Open that door and repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And let me come into your heart and be your Savior. And also, don't you think that he's saying here to each Christian, when there is a temptation to say a bad word, that Jesus knocks and says, wait a minute, let me come in and help you keep from doing that. When there's a temptation to become involved in immorality, taking drugs into our body, being involved in sexual activity that's not based upon God's pattern for the home, don't you think, in a sense, if there's been the training and the teaching of God's Word, that Jesus is sort of tapping on the door of the heart and saying, wait a minute, are you sure that's what you want to do? Let me come in. Let me be there. And I'll help you to meet that temptation and overcome it, as is promised in 1 Corinthians 10. Daily living. Jesus says, if you'll just let me come into your life, I'll be with you every day, every hour of the day. Even when that tornado warning or watch is there, even when that thunderstorm warning is there, I'll be with you. If you'll just open the door and let me come in. And notice how far he's able to take a person here, or a congregation even, in this setting of Laodicea. Back earlier in the passage that was read, you see a lukewarm congregation, but later on he says you can be zealous. Be zealous and repent. He's saying I can take you from lukewarmness to where you are zealous for the cause that is right. If you'll just open the door and let me come in. And then just after that, as I mentioned a moment ago, is said seven times in these two chapters, he says, if you let me come in, you can overcome. We have a lot of marches sometimes of people who sing that song, We Shall Overcome. And I have sympathy and feelings to anyone who has a problem that he needs to overcome. But folks, there is no way to overcome that is like the way we can overcome in Jesus. And when we have problems in our families, we may be going to the wrong source. When we have problems in our own personal lives, we may be going to the wrong source. We've got to get back to Jesus and open our hearts and let Him come in. He says, if you let me come in, we can have sweet communion. We can have a personal relationship. I can bring you from lukewarmness to being zealous for the cause, and I can help you overcome anything that you need to overcome. Knock, knock. Who's there? Jesus. You have the knob that you can turn. Do you need to open that door and come to Him as together we stand and sing?